So for those of you who are regular here, you can see that I'm trying a new microphone. And I feel like I have my head in a vise with this thing on my head. It's not tight. It's not hurting. It's just different. So I'm going to have to play with this a little to get used to this and see where. Is it still picking up pretty good? Because I don't want my peas to pop every time I say certain words. So in 1991, Pam and I had felt God leading us to the northwest side of Chicago to start Northwest Church. We visited many other churches around the country to ask them to help us by praying for us and to support us financially. And over the next 16 years, starting in 1991, I would visit a little over 400 of our churches around the country. Once in a while, I would stay in a hotel. But most of the time, I would stay in the homes of members of those churches. I met some absolutely wonderful people. Many of them were older people. By the way, older than I was then, older than I am now. I stayed with some families of husband and wife that were in their 80s. Many of them have gone on to be with Jesus. And when we would sit around their houses for dinner or just talking, when they talked, I listened. Older people have a lot of life experience. They've been through a lot. And they have wisdom. And I have learned to listen when older people talk. In the Bible, a man named Job asks, Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? And the answer to that, by the way, is yes, wisdom is found among the aged. Long life does bring understanding. So let me ask you, especially you younger people. Do you think older people have wisdom? Yes, no? So if someone lives to be 70 or 80 years old, is it good to listen to their advice? I think so. What about someone who has lived forever? Someone who is eternal. You know who I'm talking about? Job also tells us, to God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are His. I wish I could help you see how important it is to follow Jesus, to read His wisdom in the Bible, and to listen to it, to live by it. Today we're beginning a sermon series through the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Most of the Proverbs were written by King Solomon, but a fair number were written by others. This book of 31 chapters addresses virtually every area of life. It is inspired by God. And yet, we often live our lives without seeing what God has to say. And we do this to our peril, to our detriment. So over the next several months, please listen to what God has to say about living your life. So let's start where God starts, explaining what wisdom is. So if you are able to and wish to, let's stand as we read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So in this passage, we will look at these verses one or two at a time, or a few at a time. Verse 1 tells us who wrote this section of Proverbs, and that was Solomon, the third king of Israel. Shortly after Solomon became king, God appeared to him in a dream. This is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3. And God tells Solomon that he can ask for anything he wants, and God will grant his request. Here is Solomon's response to God. You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? In that prayer, Solomon was asking for wisdom. Solomon was granted more wisdom than anyone who had ever lived. But he failed to live by that wisdom. He turned from God's wisdom and followed his own. So sometime later, listen to these verses from 1 Kings 11. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter: Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And his wives led him astray. I need to pause here, Elsa, and explain. God is not forbidding intermarriage between people groups. He's forbidding intermarriage between someone who believes in the one true God and someone who doesn't. And the reason is given here. These nations worshipped false gods. They worshipped idols. Some of these nations would actually offer their children in sacrifice to their gods. Many of their idolatrous worship practices included sins of a sexual nature. It was bad. And in this passage, God is warning them, don't marry those who don't believe in the true one God, because they will pull you away. They will tempt you to stray from the one true God. Solomon didn't just marry one. Can you believe this? He married 700. He disobeyed God. I'm back to my notes, Elsa. He disobeyed God, and the rest of Solomon's life was a nightmare, filled with problems and sin. So listen to what Solomon had written in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Solomon wrote this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." Solomon did not follow his own words. He didn't follow God's wisdom. Wisdom is the choice to be godly. The wise person is sensitive to God, submits to him, and applies God's laws and principles when making daily choices. So back to chapter 1, verse 2, tells us the two purposes of the book of Proverbs. Two primary purposes: wisdom is right thinking, and wisdom discipline is right living. Wisdom is understanding ourselves and the people around us from God's perspective, from God's truth. Right thinking is the first thing wisdom gives us. Wisdom is how to think right, how to think correctly according to God's wisdom and not our own wisdom. Wisdom is being able to see into a situation and understand it, discern it, and to see a wise path through it. Now, some Christians have a gift, a spiritual gift of wisdom and discernment. If you don't have that gift, don't be discouraged. Just spend time in God's Word. Read His wisdom and apply it to your life. And be a part of a local church where you can ask advice from other mature Christians who are following Jesus faithfully. The world around us is trying constantly to deceive us, to tempt us, to guide our thinking away from God's way of thinking and to the world's way of thinking. So the first concept that Proverbs gives us is right thinking. The second concept these Proverbs give us is right living, discipline. God gave Solomon right thinking, right? He gave him wisdom. But Solomon did not follow God's right thinking. In the Bible, right living must follow right thinking. Solomon did not follow right thinking. He knew it, but he didn't live it. He didn't apply it. Discipline is learning to live right, to do, to live, to obey the wisdom of God. In the New Testament, James 1:22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word of God, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Many times we will attend worship, listen to a sermon, maybe even be in a small group Bible study, and we learn about God and His Word, His wisdom. But then we go through life disregarding that wisdom. James is saying that we actually deceive ourselves into thinking that we're pretty good people. Hey, I go to church. I know stuff about the Bible. But then we do not do what God's wisdom tells us. And when the wheels fall off of our lives, we're surprised. I've had people come to me for advice, and I tell them what the Bible says about a given problem or a decision, but they don't listen. And weeks, months, sometimes years later, they'll come back and ask more advice on how to deal with the problem created by not following God's wisdom to begin with. And that breaks my heart, by the way. I don't say this with joy. And it's not an I told you so thing. I didn't tell you anything. I don't have wisdom. God has wisdom. I heard a pastor years ago on this subject. This is a long time ago. And he was telling the story of someone who came to him to ask his opinion about a choice. And the choices were very obvious. I mean, one choice was obviously great, and the other was obviously bad and sinful. And he knew, the pastor knew what the guy wanted to do. So he says, hey, go ahead and do this. And the guy looked at him in surprise, like, he said, you really think it's okay to do that? And I said, well, or the pastor said, well, I'm just telling you what you want to hear. You want to know what God says? And of course, the guy became very subdued. And he did say, yeah, I want to hear, but he didn't want to hear. I have actually had several people, many people over the years, come to me for advice. And several times, I would tell them what God has to say about their situation. And a few, several, have actually said, and this is almost word for word, I know that's what God says, but I think. And then they went on to tell me what they were going to do. And it would be contrary to what God's wisdom had said. And I can't tell you how many people have said that or something similar to me. Do not trust in your own wisdom. Trust in God's wisdom. Verse 3, and actually verse 3 through 6, tells us that wisdom will help us to be disciplined to do what is best for our lives. God's wisdom will help us do what is right. What is right in God's eyes, in God's opinion, not our own opinion, not the opinion of the culture around us. And what is right, right thinking, will lead to what is fair. God's wisdom works when we follow it. Getting wisdom takes work, effort, and it involves submission. Submitting what you want to do to what God wants you to do. So discipline, counsel, advice in the right direction, correction, wisdom, and right thinking is the first thing Proverbs gives us. And right living, putting it into action, is the second thing that Proverbs gives us. We will be addressing 25 to 30 areas of life that Proverbs addresses. So, by the way, if you're sitting here thinking, I don't know, if a book written, 2,700 years ago or so, 2,700 years ago, I don't know if this stuff applies to me. Oh, trust me, it applies to you. You might be thinking, yeah, it was that wisdom stuff. That's for old people. Big mistake. The sooner you listen to, learn, follow, yield to, submit, obey God's wisdom, live God's wisdom, trust me, your life will be so much more pleasing to God. So these 25 to 30 areas that we will be addressing, marriage, money, parenting. There's a list. At the heart of each one is right thinking and right living. What does God say about it? And how am I going to live what God says about it? If anyone gets to be my age and says, I don't have any regrets, I'm sorry, Elsa, I'm all over the map here. Frank Sinatra. You know what I'm going to sing? I did it my way. Right? Might have been a hit on the Billboard Top 100. But it was not pleasing to God. I like some of his music, especially Chicago, Chicago, it's my kind of town. But there's so much in his life that was displeasing to God. Anyone gets to my age and says they don't have any regrets, they're either not very smart, unteachable, or just outright lying. Or they may have a pride problem and they just can't admit they're wrong. I wish I could go back in my life and do so many things differently. And the older I get, the more I see, if I just listen to what God says, God's wisdom, and followed his wisdom, then I wouldn't have those regrets. Please listen. Life is hard. We face problems. Loss, betrayal, grief. If you haven't faced any of these things yet in life, you will. And you will have hundreds, thousands of decisions to make. Please don't face the trials of life without God's wisdom. Please don't go through life making decision after decision without God's wisdom. Verse 7, well, I'll get there in a minute, sorry. Without God's wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, the place where wisdom begins is to recognize God for who he is. Now, here's one of Pastor Dave's really deep thoughts. Are you ready for this? My thoughts are really deep. He is God, and you are not. That sounds simple, right? But you do realize that every time you do not follow God's wisdom, every time you disobey his word, in that moment, on that issue, you're making yourself God, not him. If we could learn this principle, he is God and we are not. So where do we start learning and living God's wisdom? It's verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is having God in the proper place in your life. And that means he is first. And he is the center of your life. The beginning of wisdom is recognizing that you are not God. Larry Richards was a Bible scholar. I really like his writings. He's passed away some years ago, but here are some of his thoughts on verse 7, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom. Fear here is not dread, but reverence of God expressed in submission to His will. Let me read that again. Fear is not dread, but a reverence of God. And the way we express it is in submission to His will by following it, by living it. This is, in fact, the basic sense of fear of the Lord throughout the Old Testament, where it might be often translated reverential awe. And by the way, even faith. God is the creator of the universe and of life. Because He is the creator, it is impossible to obtain an understanding of our place and the design and purpose of living without a humble approach to God. But why is fear of God the beginning or the starting point? Because the conviction that God is and is to be honored is the only door that opens true wisdom. Only when the totality of our lives are oriented to the Lord can true moral knowledge and wisdom be gained. I agree with those thoughts. The idea of having a proper respect and fear of the Lord occurs 15 times in Proverbs alone. Beginning in Hebrew means the start. You simply cannot gain knowledge of spiritual things if you begin at the wrong point. If you refuse to put God first and center in your life. You may have heard the saying, somebody asked for directions, and you say, well, you can't get there from here. You ever heard that? No? I heard that a lot growing up. Maybe the people I hung around with were directionally challenged. You can't get to wisdom unless you start by recognizing God, who He is, and who you're not. The Hebrew word for beginning can also mean the capstone or the essence or the heart. Fear of the Lord is the heart of wisdom. The essence of true knowledge is having God in the proper place in your life. And foolishness is not having God in the proper place in your life. So this sermon has been a little different, yeah? I'm thinking possibly some of you, since this doesn't tell a story in the Bible or a parable in the Bible, you may be wondering, what's it really about? I encourage you to go back and listen to it again. Read Proverbs 1, 1 through 7 several times. I've always admired people who seem to grasp a situation. Some of you know Chris Wright. He was a member here for 17 years. And he was a businessman. Believe it or not, he's a cop now. Ask me about that after the service. But I'm still stunned. But he's a businessman at heart. He got his degrees in business. He was in business. And as a pastor, we would not make a business decision without making sure Chris was on it. He saw things that I missed. He understood business. Personally, to this day, I still don't make major decisions in our personal finances or plans or whatever without running it by Chris first. He just sees things I miss. I've admired people like that. When it comes to understanding life, I've always admired people who just seem to have the gift of wisdom. There's a situation you face, and you tell them about it, and then they see things and give advice that you never thought of, and I'm like, man, it's good. Why didn't I see that? Be careful who you ask wisdom from. Ask wisdom from people who are following God closely, faithfully. So for the rest of this year, this sermon series will go on into 2026. It's going to be a long one. And whatever you're facing in life, if you come to me and ask me today or this week, hey, I'm facing this in life, what does God's Word say about it? I'll arrange the sermon schedule where we get to that sermon quicker. But you don't have to wait for the sermons. You can come to any of us pastors anytime. You can come to other mature Christians in the church anytime and ask advice, biblical counsel, biblical wisdom. One of my favorite songs on this subject is Ancient Words. Usually when I preach a sermon on subjects about this or like this, I will have Sarah to make sure that we sing Ancient Words during worship. I didn't do that this week. For some reason, we tend to think we need the newest, the shiniest, the flashiest, the most recent, that we need to know now. And I'm encouraging you to take a step back from now and let's visit these words that God spoke through Solomon and wrote through Solomon and others 2,700 years ago, give or take a few years. Because I'm telling you, they are as relevant for our lives today, no matter your age, no matter your income, no matter your educational level. None of that matters. It's relevant to all of us now. Let's see what God's Word says about life. But as the worship team comes up, my closing challenge: what good is it going to do you to come to worship these next several months, listen to these sermons, and even agree with them? Yeah, that's pretty good stuff, Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Pastor Dustin, that's good stuff. What good is it going to do you to listen to them and not follow them? And you also need to know that if you are far from God, you've not trusted in Christ for eternal life, you've not committed to following Him, to living for Him, you need to know that following these Proverbs will not save you. As good as they are. And God knows I'm not criticizing His word. Because you must start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You must start with a recognition that He's God and you're not, and you desperately need Him. You must start with the commitment to follow Him, to live for Him. You must start with the belief that He is the only hope you have this side of eternity. It starts with a humble heart bowing before a holy God, saying, God, I'm in desperate need here. I need help. I need forgiveness of my sin. I need everything. I've got nothing without You. Truly committing to following Him. Following Him. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to see the beauty, the truth of Your words. Most importantly, draw us to Jesus. Solomon was the wisest man who had ever lived. But Jesus is the God-man. He's better than Solomon. Smarter, wiser. Help us to see that it's only through Christ we have eternal life. It's only through Christ we have hope. Only through Christ does life really have the meaning that lasts. Only in Christ. Only in Christ, when life is hard, He is enough. God, help us to live for You. And in the weeks and months to come, as we see Your word explaining, giving us wisdom on how to face all these different areas of our life, help us to understand them, help us to have right thinking, but then also help us to live them. Help us to live rightly for You. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.